There in that first chapter of the book of John, let us read there in verse 34 of this first chapter. This is John's witness and testimony of the Messiah, of the Savior, of His Deliverer, of His salvation. He said in verse 33, "And I knew Him not, but He that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, the same is He which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And John said, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as He walked," this is John speaking, "He saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus." They heard what He said when He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto Him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And He said unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where He dwelt, and abode with Him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of them, which heard John speak and followed Him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and he said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ," the anointed one, the sent one. And he brought him to Jesus. Andrew did. Brought his brother, Peter, to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, He said, "Thou art Simon, son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone, or Peter. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Let me talk to you a little bit here this evening about a man named Philip. A man named Philip. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip. And He said unto Philip, "Follow me." Now this man named Philip was added to this little company of the Lord's disciples. Wasn't many here. Well, there wasn't many really when our Lord was crucified. Wasn't too many. In fact, they said on the day of Pentecost there's only 120 on the roll. So there wasn't many. He didn't make many disciples those 3 years of His ministry. But here is one of the first. Philip. He is added to this little company of the Lord's disciples. And it does not appear, from what I've read, it doesn't appear that Philip had been moved like Andrew and the others by the testimony of John the Baptist. Now, Andrew and some of the others were convinced as to who the Christ of God was by the witness of John the Baptist. But Philip here didn't seem to be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ in that manner. Now, you know, Simon Peter, he was brought, according to what we read, he was brought to the Lord Jesus through the means of his brother. His brother declaring, "We've found a Messiah." And he brought Simon Peter, Andrew, to the Lord Jesus. But Philip here seems to have been called directly by the Lord Himself. It says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and say unto him, "Follow me." He seems to have been called directly by the Lord Himself. Now, all true believers, from that day until this, true believers in Christ Jesus, they're all led by one Spirit. They're all washed in one blood. They all serve one Lord. They all lean on one Savior. They all believe one truth. And they all walk by one general rule. But all are not converted the same way. They're not all converted in the same manner or the same way. In the conversion of a sinner, the Holy Spirit, who is the author of regeneration, who quickens sinners, He is sovereign in the dispensing of His power to that end. So He calls whomsoever He pleases in that respect. He's sovereign in His giving life to dead sinners. So, all of us, for the most part, we attribute the good news of the gospel coming to us, or the means of that gospel coming to us, through another man, through a preacher. How can they preach except they be sent? And so forth. But here in this case, it pleased God, the Holy Spirit, not to use a means, but He called Philip Himself. So, which leads me to say this, we need to be careful or beware of making the experience of other believers the measure of our own. We need to be careful not to set in on judgment of someone else because they didn't have the same experience that we had. Philip didn't have the same experience as some of the others had. But he had an experience he'd never forget, and there's no doubt in my mind that Philip was a child of the living God. Christ called him Himself. So the only question that should concern us is he or she a true believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I read here that when Philip whom the Lord hath found. And he came from the same city of Andrew and Peter, Bethsaida. Verse 45, Philip finds Nathanael. And this is what he says unto Nathanael. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now you can find the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. He's all through the Old Testament, although the name Jesus is not there. There is in one place the name Joshua, which means Jesus. But the name Jesus, in the sense that he's found in the New Testament, is not found in the Old Testament. But from the time of Adam through Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, every sacrifice in the Old Testament pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ and spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses wrote of him. He says here, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Who did we find? We found Jesus of Nazareth. He's all through the Old Testament. Folks say, well, I know there's a whole denomination of thousands and thousands of people that kind of scoff at the Old Testament, say the Old Testament, we have nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, the only Bible they carry most of the time is just the New Testament. They won't have a Bible that's got all the books of the Bible in it. They say nothing there in the Old Testament. Well, they're kind of like the fellow that said, I won't learn anything till I know something. Well, he'll never learn anything, will he? Most of them fellows is like that. But I won't learn anything till I know something. And they never know anything because they never learn anything and they never look for anything. The Old Testament is full of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. All the sacrifices, he's coming. The Messiah. The King of Israel. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. God's Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. He's come. He's here. We found him. What Moses in the law and in the prophets, they did write of him. We found him. Well, every sacrifice, every high priest in the Old Testament was a type of the Lord Jesus, and every judge and deliverer of Israel was a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, notice then the good advice that Philip gave to Nathanael. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And this went on Nathanael. Nathanael said, can there be any good come out of Nazareth? Now, Philip didn't argue with him. Most of us would stop and argue a little bit about it. But Nathanael didn't argue with him. Philip didn't argue with him. He said, come and see. Nathanael said, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Guile has to do with deceitfulness. There's none in this guy. That's good advice that Philip gave to Nathanael. Now, Nathanael, in all probability, was full of doubt and full of apathy concerning the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. And old Philip, he said, well, just come and see. Now, you notice here what our Lord says to him. Just as soon as he seen him, he said of Nathanael, behold, an Israelite indeed. This, he speaks of high character of this man, Nathanael. An Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, I knew you before Philip ever said a word to you. I had my eye on you. Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael, as a outburst of a consciousness of who the Lord Jesus Christ immediately answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? In other words, is there any other reason for your believing except that I relayed that information to you, that I saw you while you was under that fig tree? I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? And evidently, he believed. He believed. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now that was some experience, wasn't it? I think that what he said in verse 51, I'm sure that was in the future. I don't know whether that took place, when that took place, or if it is yet to come. But surely it will take place. It's a promise of God to this fellow here, Nathanael. All right. If you look in this first chapter, it's got how many verses? 51 verses. And in this chapter, the writer here, John, the beloved, the apostle, he refers to the Lord Jesus Christ 21 times in this chapter. Under various descriptive names. Now, I'll just read them off to you. And you can think about them as you read this chapter, the 51 verses. Now, he's called the Word up there in the first verse. In the beginning was the Word. He's referred to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's called the Word, and he's called God in the first verse. Now, He's called the Word. He's called God in this chapter now. He's called life. He's called light. He's called the true light. He's called the only begotten of the Father. He's called full of grace, or described full of grace and truth. He's referred to as Jesus Christ. He's referred to as the only begotten Son. He's referred to as the Lord. He's referred to as the Lamb of God. He's referred to as Jesus. And I made mention of this one place where John the Baptist referred to Him as a man. A man. He's referred to as the Son of God. He's called the Rabbi. He's called Teacher. Nicodemus, remember, said, "We know that Thou art a teacher come from God." He's called Messiah, which means the Christ, the Anointed One. He's called Christ. He's called the Son of Joseph. He's called the King of Israel. And He's called the Son of Man. All here in one chapter. And when Philip said to Nathanael, when Nathanael said, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." And that's what I say. That's what I say here this evening. That's the message here this evening. Come and see. Come and see. You don't have far to go. I told you already that every book of the Old Testament speaks of Him, points to Him. Every sacrifice, every lamb, every bullock, every turtle dove, every sacrifice, and there was millions of sacrifices, millions and millions of gallons and barrels of blood was shed under the economy of Moses in the Old Testament in the ceremonial sacrifices, and every drop of that blood, and every sacrifice that had its throat cut was pointing to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every priest and high priest was a figure of Him. So I say, come and see. If any man's interested in finding out who He is, come and see. It's all wrote down here. It's all wrote down. And even in this first chapter, one chapter of the Bible here speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ 21 times. Well, you know and I know that this world is in darkness. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, "I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world." Now, when He said, "I'm the light of the world," now there's one meaning to that, and there's some implications there. Certainly He is the light. He is what the sun is to the solar system. The Lord Jesus Christ is, spiritually speaking, to His people. "I'm the light of the world." These words imply that the world needs light. The world needs light. It implies that the world is naturally in a dark condition, and has been so for 6,000 years. Did you know that? That this world is in darkness and has been that way since Adam's fall. In darkness. In ancient Egypt, in Greece, in Rome, in England, in France, in Germany, in every island in the Pacific, every place in the Atlantic, and the United States of America, the U.S. of A, is in darkness. Darkness. The vast majority of the people on earth at any given time, the majority of Adam's fallen race, don't see, nor do they understand the value of their souls. They don't understand the true nature of God. They don't understand the reality of the world to come. They are in darkness. That's the reason I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Come and see. Come and see. If a man wants to see, let him come to Christ, who is the light of the world, and he'll find out something about the value of his soul. He'll find out something in regard to the true knowledge of who God is and the reality of the world to come. Let him come. I say this is a vast darkness that covers this world. Vast darkness. Notwithstanding all the discoveries of art and science, so-called, darkness still covers the earth. He only is the light, and He only can dispel the darkness, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of false lights on every side. They're false lights, and they invite men's attention, such as this light of philosophy. And there's the light of reason. There's the light of conscience. There's the light of liberalism. There's the light of earnestness. There's the light of do the best you can and it'll be all right. But I'll tell you, all these lights, false lights, they have a voice and they cry out and invite men to come to them. We got the light. We got the light. But I'm telling you, they ain't got the light. He's the light. The true light that lighteth up the world. The Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, Philip, he gave Nathanael good advice. When Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" He didn't argue with him. He didn't say, "Your religion ain't no good." He didn't say you need to be baptized with this and that. He said, "Come and see and find out for yourself." And that's what I say. Come and see. He's the light of the world. Ah, know the value of your soul. Know the reality of the world to come. Know something of God. Most of these people, absolutely, they'll argue. They can argue certain questions of religion. But when it's all said and done, they are absolutely ignorant of who God is. Absolutely ignorant. And I'm not stretching the imagination by describing them that way. God help them. But He won't. But He won't. He'll leave them go and struggle in their darkness and wind up in the eternity of displeasure. Drawing their souls. God help us. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.